Dave, thank you very much for doing this. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. It's been a while.
It has. How are you? How's the family?
Oh, everybody, you know, we're not going to say we're great, but we're hanging in there. We've got some crazy weather today out in Calgary. It's like spring shows up and you think everything's back, and then we're supposed to get snow today. So that's just what it is around here. But I'm sure you guys are nice and green and the golf clubs are shined up, and hopefully you're enjoying it.
Yeah, it's pretty good here right now. I had some rain yesterday, but it's all good again. Just softening up those greens so we can dial it in there nice and tight. Like, who are we kidding? If we're happy if we landed on the green. Do you have a bucket list item, Dave, before we talk a little CFL football here? As I know you're a big sports guy. I know you watch a little bit of everything. Do you have a bucket list item on your sports list?
Well, I hit my bucket list item when I turned 40. My wife and sent me and my college roommate to the Masters, and I always wanted to go. My grandpa was a big golf nut, and he kind of started my brother and I into golf when we were 12 or 13, and she surprised me, and it was awesome, to be honest. It was probably better than you can expect, and everyone says how great it is, and it's true. It's all about the golf, though, so you better be a golf fan, but I actually wouldn't mind. I enjoy NBA games. Like, my son's kind of liking some basketball, and when we went to the College Hall of Fame, we ended up picking up a Hawks game, and I hadn't seen much NBA, and I loved it. So, you know, NCAA, you know, something in the bracket would be fun. I would like to watch some basketball. I feel like I watch enough football. So if I don't catch a Super Bowl, I'm going to be okay with that. But anyway, so those would be some things I'd like to watch.
Yeah, and I know you'd like to watch some CFL football. We've had people texting us today wanting some CFL football this year, Dave. As we make the turn into what you do for a living, how confident are you that we're going to see CFL football this season?
I'm confident. I am. I feel like there's been some people that are way higher up the ladder on decision-making than me saying they're going to play this year. I just want those guys to come out and tell us when. So that's the big question. I really do feel we're going, and I'm comfortable with whatever they decide. We are just such scheduled people. We like to know what's in the future. We want to, you know, try to get ourselves locked in and lined up for something that is, I guess, going to happen. And this darn pandemic, there's just really everything so cloudy out there. Schedules are very tough to decipher. So I really feel like, Scotty, it's going to go, and I think fairly soon, to be honest. But that's just me having a gut feeling on that.
Dave, I mean, it has been a year and a half since we've seen CFL football. Coming up, I guess, training camp in May would be 2 years now since a training camp happened. Have you heard, like, how difficult has this been for your players this past, I guess, year and a half?
Good question. And by the way, Karen, I'm glad Scotty finally got someone a little softer voice in the studio. So appreciate that. No, to be honest, it's been terrible on them. And you know, I've been a player for many years, and I actually sometimes forget that I don't have the player hat on. I really do feel like I know that other side as good as lots of people. But see, we just feel like you said, they're committed to us, and yet, you know, there's all sorts of things up in the air, salaries. A lot of them, some of the best guys got signing bonuses and had guaranteed money here and there, but a lot of them, unfortunately, have just been trying to find a way to support themselves and their family and to get to the next season. And, you know, like the guys, even right now, they have jobs, they have rent, and they just need to know when is it time to go to our bosses and say, hey, I'll see you in a year. I'm going to Canada to play some ball. That's the questions that you feel for the players on. So as soon as we can get a schedule and as soon as we feel like it's a green light, I do feel more confident that I can talk to the players and say, kind of let's go. But until then, I've been kind of telling them, yep, we're thinking it's still in May. Get your body right, get you mentally right. But I wouldn't necessarily retire from that job that's giving you food on your table.
Yeah, I'm guessing there has to be some serious conversations with some players, especially, you know, with their families about, you know, especially maybe some later in their careers, is it time to possibly, you know, just continue with that stable career that they may have had to have in that during the coronavirus.
True. And I mean, I am of the opinion, and I would go on record as saying that, you know, most of the time, real work and real jobs will be there for you, whereas football is just such a finite, small window. I would take it as far as it can take me, and I did. I mean, I wasn't going to, you know, basically someone else is going to have to tell me when to stop. And I kind of feel like football players are football players, that that's what they want to do. But you're right, especially people that know nothing about Canada and the CFL. I mean, say what you want. Sometimes in the U.S. you get stuck in your own little world. You're like, Canada, where's that? And once they come here and they understand what our league's about and our fan support and how much we love our game, I think a lot of them like to stay. But it's tougher when these guys haven't been here and you're trying to sell our league and our game, and yet there really hasn't been a game now, like you said, in almost 2 years. So definitely a challenge for us coaches.
Dave Dickinson, head coach of the Calgary Stampeders, joining us here today on Rintoul and Sermon. And it's kind of crazy how it's flipped, isn't it, Dave? A year ago, we're talking about this, and over the last number of months, can they get a CFL season up and running? Well, you got to bring in so many Americans, and with the way things are going down there, how's that going to happen with our border? It's amazing how it's flipped, because a lot of the players that would be coming to Canada are probably going to be vaccinated before those who live here. And I imagine your mind has wandered with that possibility, that it might actually be easier, depending on what happens with our border restrictions, to get players in now than it would have been 6, 7, 8 months ago.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, and I read April 19th, every single state in the U.S. is open to anybody can get a vaccine. And I mean, I'm from Montana, and everybody, I could drive down and get one myself if I could just get back without a 14-day quarantine. And trust me, it's crossed my mind. I think the players, for the most part, will have an opportunity to be vaccinated. You know, obviously, there's always what's up with the PA, and, you know, I'm not telling anyone that they need to or have to. All I can do is let them make an informed decision, and hopefully, though, it helps us for the CFL and down the road for also no work stoppages. You know, that's the worst thing to do, is if we got going and then we had massive break like the Canucks. I mean, that's just all the momentum of everything you do. You know, it's just the air goes out of the balloon. So if we're vaccinated, and maybe we can be a little bit less stringent on certain things, you know, I don't know what to treat it like, Scotty. I really don't. I don't know. I don't want to get involved in the politics of it, but at some point, you know, can we get back to the new normal? And is the new normal treated it like the flu? I don't know. I guess we'll wait and see. But certainly hope, you know, once we decide to open those borders and people come in, hope the majority of us in Canada are also vaccinated, and we can get back to enjoying sport for what it is, a release, you know, a place to go and gather with your friends and celebrate some good Canadian football. And that's what I'm hoping it'll happen.
Well, we're all hoping that's going to happen at some point in the next few months. But then there's the issue of, can you congregate? Can you do that in every single province? I know you don't have those answers, Dave, but as you watched what happened last season unfold, and unfortunately there wasn't one, and we look ahead to this year, can we go without fans in the CFL financially for any length of time on the schedule?
Yeah. Not really, unfortunately, a question I can answer. I don't know the details. But I'm going to tell you this, Scotty. I'm more than willing to do whatever they tell me to do to play. So I don't really care if we need to take a little cut. You know, let's be honest, I want to play so bad, and I just think we need it as a country, but also Calgary Stampeders. I live in this city. I feel like we need something to kind of get things going. So whatever they tell me is needed to be done as an organization, we're going to do it to the best of our ability, and we're going to get out there on the field and do what we do best, which is win games.
And depending on who you listen to and what reports you read, that might involve some type of potential merger. Maybe not right away, but with the XFL at some point. Dave, what's been your reaction to all of that talk and the potential of an XFL merger? Are you wary of it? Are you excited about it? Where do you stand?
I'm not really thinking about it. I know that's what you might say, why, but there's other things on the horizon that are way closer for me, at least. And like I told you, I'll do whatever they tell me is best to keep this thing rolling. And so for me, that means getting focused on 2021 CFL season and understanding this, our team here, like if when we show up on the sideline, I'll be darned, I don't think people will know 75% of our team. They'll look at the name on the back of the jersey and who's that? And I really feel like we've went through a bit of a rebuild without any games actually prove that what we're doing is right. But our roster has had such turnover. We end up watching a lot of the classics, you know, like, so I watch a lot of the highlights. I try not to watch the Grey Cup games where we lose, but I end up seeing games like from 2018 and I don't see any of our team playing anymore. It's crazy how many people have changed. So I kind of feel like this year is more going to be exciting for us. We're in a new, for me, and kind of a new frontier. Expectations are still high, but do these guys really know what Calgary Stampeder football is about? And we're going to have to do a great job to coach them. As far as the other stuff, I just feel like it's too far on the horizon for me to really get involved with it. And plus, I have zero say. So I'm just going to focus on 2021. And like I said, I really do believe we'll be playing sooner rather than later, and I'm excited about that.
One thing you do having come up, Dave, is the CFL draft. Of course, I believe that's in May. And last year was obviously difficult, still had the draft, but there was no combine. I'm guessing this year is exactly the same. So how has it been trying to get kind of like recruiting tools, shall we say, and film on these guys to see what you have, you know, the potential of drafting this year?
Yeah, honestly, it's been difficult. I'm not going to say I'm a scouting guru. I enjoy seeing guys in person, though. I think G-Roy had an article, and he said how much things are different in person than off of film. You know, we've tried a global initiative, and I feel like it just everything has kind of worked against it at this stage. So we've got that draft on the 15th, and same thing. It's hard to draft a guy you've never seen. I mean, we've had some horror stories where we draft a guy and he shows up and he's like 3-4 inches shorter than we thought and not nearly the guy. Now, his film is the same, but, you know, there's doesn't seem sometimes, you know, you need certain attributes, certain physical tools to excel at a professional level, and sometimes it certainly is difficult when you haven't seen him in person. But we're going to make the best of it. I the one thing on the Canadian draft that disappointed me was how many of the young athletes opted out. I felt like with the rules that we have that we could send them back to school, I was really disappointed that they didn't want to put themselves out there, see where they get drafted, and come to a camp and make themselves better. And then if it didn't work out, they still could go back to school. And that was the part for me that I was surprised. I thought with our rules, more Canadian kids would actually put themselves out there. But there are still, I mean, some good players, just not as many of them this draft. And that's, I guess, represented in the lack of only going 6 rounds versus 8. So we have to be sharp. We need some reinforcements. We do have 2 draft classes coming in, though, which the competition will be there. But with the rules that the Canadian give us that we can actually send guys back to school, I feel confident the guys that are pro ready will stay, and the rest of the guys hopefully go back to their programs and have great years.
So you're going to be disappointed when I send you Cooper Kupp's college tape and I show up.
Yes, I would. You know, I give you the benefit of the doubt. You guys, yes, I'd give you the benefit of the doubt. I'll let you go one-on-one with our DB, Scotty, and see how you do.
Yeah, I think I know how I'd do it. It's Dave Dickinson, head coach of the Stampeders, joining us here on Rintoul and Sermon. You know, Dave, I know you've been following the talk with the XFL and CFL, and we did a lot of it on this show. And in fact, the last time I had you on this program, we were talking about the Canadian Football League and what needs to be on the table and what's sacred to the game. I think there's 2 parts to this conversation that I've noticed over the past month since this has become a topic. One is that, what's sacred to the game? How much have you thought about that, the CFL itself, and in any future world where things could change, like what can't change for you? What needs to be there for it to be considered CFL football?
I don't, you know, I just don't feel confident that it's, you know, should be up to me. Well, you know, I like a lot of things about the CFL game, but I, you know, I think we can put an exciting version of a product on a field if we tweak some rules. And I don't want to get into the ratio, or I don't want to get into 3 down, 4 down, yard on. But I do think some of the things that are the most exciting about our game is our unlimited motion. I would be disappointed if we weren't able to keep that. I think obviously it makes it a little tougher on defenses, but it gives the creativity of an offensive coordinator. And for fans, you can do things that you normally can't do. And I also like the return game. I like the idea of just keeping the halo and giving guys a chance to make plays. Probably the one thing that I have no allegiance to is the single point, the rouge. I don't really like rewarding someone a point when they fail. So those would be some big things for me. Other than that, you know, willing to hear some talk. And you know what I wanted, you know, engage people and be open to things. That's the key, is don't be stuck. You know, just put your feet in the sand and don't move. You know, decide what you think is good. And people in our game, we do it every year, by the way. We do it every year. We try to make it better with rules changes. I am not, Scott, I am not in favor of a 48-42 game. I'm going to go on record for many times. I love a 27-24 game. I like the defense stopping the offense, you know, 45% of the time. I think that's what makes a back-and-forth game exciting to me. I do not need to see the rules geared for just the offense. I think that, to me, I mean, just it doesn't do anything for me. I mean, if you can't stop anybody, it's who has the ball last. That does nothing for me as a fan. I might be in the minority, though. I really might be. Maybe people just love seeing touchdown catches. Well, I want an even playing field. I want the quarterback to have to earn his living. That means you're going to get hit. I really think those are vital for our game.
I'm with you to a certain extent. I might bump that up to 31-28, but we're kind of in the same ballpark with that, Dave. So the good part of this conversation for me, and I was actually overwhelmed doing the show when all of this hit and the XFL topic came up. What I found is that whether people agreed on the three downs or the ratio or what needed to change or a merger or not, there's so much passion for football in this country. And that mm-hmm. came through in spades. And really what it comes down to is, can we tap into that some way? Because people are interested. Did you find the same thing?
For sure. In fact, I mean, I really believe the CFL athlete is the most accessible athlete in all of sports. And I feel like people, if we can just relate to them and get to know them, and we need to come down a little smaller generation. We got to get into the younger groups. You know, there's been a lot of buzz about gambling, and trust me, I do it, so I understand it. But I think the number one thing is put a good product on the field and make it fun. I definitely think we're in the entertainment business. I don't think as coaches, if you're turning down interviews or you're not allowing your other guys to be themselves, your players to be themselves and to have personality, I think we're doing our league a disservice. And that's where I think CFL has always been, a league that hopefully, Scott, you guys have access to the people you want to talk to. There's tons of great stories. There's just such a melting pot of who we are as a league and as a country. And I think football is a great sport. I think it's the best, but I mean, I know many people will say I'm biased, but that's just true. But there's just so many things going on, and there's no one guy can take over a game either. Just because you have one great player doesn't mean anything in football. You need more. And it happens every year where the tightest team and the group that is locked in as a group of however it is, 11, 12 on the field at one time, that team wins. And it's exciting. And there's parity too, boy. There's lots of teams that think they got a chance every year. So as long as we keep getting that fan support and we do our job, I just think it will succeed.
I covered the sidelines for the BC Lions the past two seasons, Dave. This is not on my bucket list, but it would mean the world is back to normal and we're back at McMahon Stadium. And I would just like to be back in the day where I can get scared when you have that horse run up and down the sidelines when Calgary scores a touchdown. Because, again, it just means the world's kind of back to normal.
Yeah, well, we put that horse on the visitor sideline for a reason.
Right? I know. I think I've had both experiences with it, and it's not fun.
It's way better than that wagon with that noise in Regina, you know, that goes around. I mean, we definitely, the horse tops it, no doubt.
I'm surprised, by the way, when we asked you off the top of the show, you didn't try to sell your in-state rivalry in Montana, the Brawl of the Wild. How come you didn't try to get our listeners saying, that's the event you got to go to, Cat Grizz, let's go?
Hey, I would highly suggest, and you live in BC, but if you want a great college atmosphere, go to Missoula, Montana, and watch a football game there. Now, listen, they're kind of doing a hybrid spring season. They're only playing two games. They're playing Mike Riley's alma mater this weekend, Central Washington. Last time the Grizz had played them, Mike was actually quarterbacking for Central Washington. And so they will be a game. But that is an amazing stadium, amazing setup. It's 25,000 strong. People are crazy. Tony Romo's been on been on record as saying it's the loudest stadium he's ever been to. Now, he might have been drinking a few there, but it is a great atmosphere and certainly one of those things where I believe any person that's looking for just that college feel and tailgating, go down there, take a piece of it, and bring some of it back to Canada when you come watch our games.
Dave, great stuff as always. Thank you for being accessible, for having this conversation with us today, and I hope you're right. I hope we see football on the field sooner rather than later, and that we can get a few fans in the stands, because it means we're doing a lot better health-wise as a country, too.
Yeah, and all the best to you guys, and appreciate you reaching out to us over on the other side of the mountains.